On behalf of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, we welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Sunday Festival. Our very sincere gratitude to everyone who has so kindly dedicated this precious time to come together to help purify each other's hearts through hearing and chanting the glories of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Today we are very specially fortunate. Three of Srila Prabhupada's very dear, empowered associates have mercifully descended upon us. I will give brief introduction to each of them because the program is running late. Everyone knows very well His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami Maharaj, one of the senior most devotees of our society. He joined in the mid-60s and has been, when he first became a devotee, he was immediately a leader in preaching. I remember when I came back from India, 1972, I came to the New York temple, and every single day he was giving class. And at that time, New York was the largest temple in all of ISKCON. His profound understanding of the essence of bhakti philosophy, his realizations in how he conquers all opposition, dispels all doubts, and at the same time he's so simple, so renounced, so strict with himself, and so forgiving toward wretched souls like myself. Jayadwaita Maharaj is one of the beacons of light, of hope, faith, and strength in Prabhupada's society. And he has come today to inspire us to participate with full enthusiasm in helping the whole world go back to Godhead. Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami. To his left is sitting the illustrious Niranjan Swami Maharaj, Niranjan Swami Maharaj is so loved and trusted by every variety of devotee. His humility, his absolute dedication to the mission of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, his incredible comprehension and realizations of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, his mastery over the devotion and musical aspects of Sankirtan, and his sweet nature, never finds faults with others. He just loves the devotees and loves to glorify devotees, loves to be with devotees. And through this quality, he is teaching all of us what is a Vaishnav. Recently, we both fasted for 1 month, and we shared many realizations which are too confidential to discuss in public, mostly dealing with prasad. Uh, let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Today it is my very great honor and pleasure to introduce our featured guest, Gopal Bhatt Prabhu. Gopal Bhatt Prabhu, in the early 70s and mid 70s, was a very, very dedicated, powerful leader of our society. At one time, he was the temple president of Los Angeles, New Dwarka, which was then the largest, most successful temple in all of America. Being a grihastha, wanting to display a proper example of grihastha life, he went into business, became tremendously successful, tremendously skilled in utilizing material and corporate skills and dovetailing them in Krishna service. Today, all over the world, the leaders of the BBT, the leaders of the GBC, the leaders of all of America are calling upon him, literally crying at his door, asking for his spiritually realized guidance packaged with a very, very Krishna conscious perspective of how to actually make bhakti flourish within the world. The most wonderful thing about Gopal Bhatt Prabhu is he simply loves to associate with devotees. He loves to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And he has a burning passion, which Prabhupada personally planted in his heart, that devotees be happy, empowered, and that the whole world flourishes under the loving, merciful glance of Sri Shivata Shamsundar. All over the world, literally, devotees, and especially leaders, are looking to him for guidance. And he has so kindly come to our temple to give us his very special association. It is the first time he's ever been here. Let us give a very grand welcome to Gopal Bhatt Prabhu. And we also have Gopal Bhatt Prabhu's son, Devala. Please stand up, O virtuous Devala Prabhu. He was born and raised a Hare Krishna devotee. I have a very special relation with him. The first time we met was in St. Peter's Cathedral, the Vatican, in Rome, Italy. Do you remember? And ever since that time, there has been a very special connection. He's a very sincere. And boys like Devala really have the potential of leading their whole that whole generation forward in the spirit of bhakti. So let us encourage Devala to do just this by welcoming him very heartily to Shivata Gopinath. Thank you very much. Gopal Bhatt Prabhu, thank you very much for coming. And Jayadvaita Maharaj, will you kindly enlighten us?
Maharaj isn't leaving me time to speak against those two nice things he said, so I'll just speak philosophy. This, as Maharaj alluded to, the devotees at Radha Gopinath Mandir have undertaken to make a special effort to acquaint people with the message of Back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada started the Back to Godhead magazine in his householder life in Delhi, actually. Prabhupada was publishing the BTG to give people the message of Krishna. Godhead means Krishna. The original, actually, I was thinking of this term in a very philosophical way, that Godhead means the absolute truth seen in a sort of a technical manner. But Prabhupada explained one time the meaning of Godhead. That Krishna's Godhead, Prabhupada said, means that he's the head god. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. He's the supreme controller, he's the supreme enjoyer, and he's the supreme friend of all living beings. And he comes to this material world to invite us to join him in the spiritual world. The material world, Srila Prabhupada explained, is no place for a gentleman. Our real home is in the spiritual sky with Krishna. Now Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. The Lord says, for anyone who always thinks of him and always engages in his service, he's very easy to obtain. Sulabha. Sulabha. So the purpose of the Back to Godhead magazine, the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, is to give us the opportunity always to think of Krishna. Ananya cheta satatam. Without the need to divert our attention, even if we have other work, that doesn't mean that we have to divert our attention from Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You think of me and fight. It's not that Arjuna, in order to fight, had to forget Krishna. He was thinking of Krishna and fighting. So whatever one's duty, whatever one's work, whatever one's situation in this material world, one can think of Krishna. It's only a question of technique. A question of molding our lives in such a way that we'll always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, the Acharyas give the example, that some woman is married, but she has another lover. So she's doing her housework very nicely, but her purpose is that my husband may not discover what's going on. But within herself, she has an appointment sometime to meet her lover. So she's thinking, when will that time come? When we'll be able to meet? While she's very busy in her work, her mind is completely absorbed in that next meeting with her lover. So this is lover consciousness, material. But the spiritual counterpart is Krishna consciousness. If it's possible materially, over some mundane lover, then what to speak of spiritually? Krishna is so much more attractive than any mundane lover, so much so that Rukmini said that anyone who's not married to Krishna is married to someone who's just a bag of mucus, bile and air with some hair on his head and some eyebrows stuck on. In the material world, In the material world, we're all imprisoned in material bodies, which are giving so much botheration, even from babyhood. There's so much difficulty. Actually, babies are a good example because they themselves are suffering, and they give suffering to others also. That's the way that the material world is set up. Every one of us is suffering, and every one of us is giving trouble to others also. That's the material world. But the spiritual world is the world of full pleasure. It's the world where everyone is engaged in his natural, joyful occupation in devotion to Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocating the affection of every living being. He's reciprocating with the cows, with the cowherd boys, with Nanda Yashoda, with the gopis, with the trees, with every living being, with the monkeys. We saw in the play the other day, he's generous to the monkeys also. And he's enjoying. And when Krishna is enjoying, he's not enjoying alone. He's enjoying in the company of all of his devotees and sharing that enjoyment with them. So Krishna says that Mam upecha punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha sansiddhim paramamgata. Those who are fortunate don't remain in this material world where everything is temporary and everything is so troublesome. Rather, they come back home, back to Godhead. They come to me. Mamu pecha punarjanma. And punarjanma is finished. No more birth and death. No more disease and old age. No more kicking around in this material world. Samsiddhim paramam gata. They attain the supreme perfection by becoming eternal associates of Krishna. The impersonalists are also unfortunate because after undergoing so much trouble to get free from this material world, they lose their personal identity and their opportunity to associate with Krishna. Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tata Patantyato. But by retaining our personal identity and developing a loving relationship with Krishna, we can attain eternal perfection and never come back. Never come back to this material world. Even if one goes to the planet of Brahma, one has to come back. Therefore, we're not interested in going anywhere else. Our goal is how to go back home, back to Godhead. And at the same time, we're interested in, we don't want to go alone. We want to follow Prahlad Maharaj, who told Lord Nrisimhadev that I don't want to go back to Godhead by myself, but I want to bring everyone else with me. So that was Srila Prabhupada's spirit, and in that spirit he started the Back to Godhead to give everyone the message of Krishna. And I'm very happy that there's a special effort to distribute that message over this coming month here at Radha Gopinath Mandir. Actually, Radha Gopinath Mandir, everyone is always distributing the message of Krishna. It's just sometimes one way, sometimes another way, sometimes another way. So it's very wonderful. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is always pleased with those who are endeavoring to spread Krishna consciousness, those who are endeavoring to come to Krishna consciousness, those who are associating with Krishna consciousness. Any touch with Krishna makes us fortunate. And the more we serve Krishna, the more our life becomes successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unminitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Garim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurave Dina Tanuma. Before I begin speaking, well, I have already begun. So, first I would like to say that I would like to give a few additional words to what Radhanath Maharaj has said about these distinguished Vaishnavas. I'll speak briefly on this subject, but I felt compelled to speak about it. And I feel very fortunate always to be in the association of His Holiness Jaya Advaita Maharaj. He's always been a very great source of inspiration for my spiritual life. And he doesn't like hearing these things, which makes it difficult to speak, because I by nature, I don't like to do anything that other Vaishnavas don't like. But I'm going to do it anyways. Because all of you will like it and you outnumber him. But he's always been a very great source of inspiration for my spiritual life. I've known Jaya Advaita Maharaj for many years. And I have fond memories of associating with him back in the 1970s. When he would be very kind to me and regularly come up and visit me when I was a Bhakti director in Manhattan. In the late 1970s, Jaya Advaita Maharaj was also there in the Manhattan Temple. And sometimes senior devotees would come. That particular place could sometimes become, for me at that time, a very lonely place. I was a Bhakti director in Manhattan Temple. Inside the temple, there were, I think, about 220, 230 devotees living at that time. Big skyscraper building that we had, and I was the Bhakti director on sixth floor, and sometimes I'd be there with 30, 40 new bhaktas and guests at trying to train them and educate them, and they were all people who had, some of them literally just off the streets in Manhattan. And it wasn't such an easy task that was asked of me. And I was very much dependent, even at that time, for association of senior godbrothers. And Jaya Advaita Maharaj would come very regularly and just open the door, walk in and sit down and start speaking a few words of encouragement to me. And I became so grateful for that association he gave me in those difficult years. But I've never been able to forget his companionship and the encouragement he gave me at that time. And that was a significant, it marked the beginning of our association, but we had much association since then as well. But one thing that always astounded me about his character, for which he's recognized even today, is his simplicity and renunciation. He would sometimes come into the room, sit down and start speaking to me, sometimes late in the evening, and we'd sit and we'd talk for a few hours. And it was late, and when it was time to go to sleep, he would, right in my office, he would just take his chadar, pull it over his head, lie down on the floor, and that was taking rest for the night. He wouldn't even bother to go out the door. Go up, go to his room, make himself comfortable, whatever it was, he was comfortable right there. Time to go to rest, take rest. He just pulled his chadar over his head, and that's where he was for the night. He'd wake up in the morning, before I did, of course. So He's like that today, in one sense, because he's so simple. He just so renounced. He can be anywhere and be perfectly peaceful and happy in Krishna consciousness. So I admire this quality in him, and it gives me a great source of inspiration of something to strive for in my own Krishna consciousness. So, no. It's my turn to speak.
I had 20 minutes and I only took 10.
The real story is that I was coming regularly to take Maharaj's association. All I knew how to do back then, practically speaking, was go to sleep. So I used to come and get Maharaj's association and become enriched in Krishna consciousness. And now I just push a pen around and he's preaching in Ukraine, he's preaching in Russia. He's doing such wonderful preaching. And he doesn't consider who's his disciple, who's somebody else's disciple, who's this person, that person. He just extends himself to all the devotees. And I'm just always in awe of his compassion and his enthusiasm for spreading Srila Prabhupada's message.
Interesting. Well,
and now you can talk about someone else.
Okay. I've learned it from the two people who are sitting on both sides of me. I will speak about somebody else. I want to speak about Gopal Bhatta Prabhu. I just want to make an additional point because I have a very close relationship with Gopal Bhatta Prabhu. He's a very, very dear godbrother of mine. And there's one aspect which Radhanath Maharaj very nicely and presented this evening about Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, and actually he covered everything in one sense: his devotion, his dedication to Prabhupada, and his skills that he has for organization and applying those skills to help benefit our movement. But Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and myself, we spent a significant amount of time a couple of years ago and last year as well in Vrindavan and Govardhan. And at that time, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu was coming to Vrindavan. And the only absorption that he had in his consciousness at that time is he wanted to awaken a deep attachment to chanting the holy name of the Lord, because he felt that at that point in his spiritual life, although he's always been chanting his 16 rounds very dedicatedly throughout all of these years, he felt that at this particular point in his life, he really wanted to increase attachment, genuine, pure attachment to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he was going, not just to myself, I got more inspiration from his association than I'm sure that he got from mine, just by seeing how attached he was to wanting to hear about the holy name. But he would go to so many different Vaishnavas and very humbly just sitting at their in their presence and hearing and asking very wonderful questions all related to the holy name. And that was his only meditation, day in, day out. Vaishnavas going, sitting and hearing from them about the glories of the holy name of the Lord. And I was filled at seeing that example in his character, and then seeing him subsequent to his visit to Vrindavan and how deeply he was trying to enrich his own life through chanting the holy name of the Lord, that Krishna has reciprocated with his such sincere chanting, and the fruit of all that chanting is that now he's performing so much service for Srila Prabhupada's movement. And we often, Prabhupada said, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. You know, Prabhupada would emphasize that is the definition of our prayer, petitioning the Lord, please always keep me engaged in your loving devotional service. And now, because of that attentiveness he had towards his chanting, that Krishna has brought him such wonderful opportunities to help expand the glories of the holy name of the Lord throughout every town and village. And he's actually dedicating so much of his energy. He was just telling me just this morning, we were speaking how 1 month he had dedicated about 4 days of that month to his business, and all the rest of the time he dedicated to helping the leaders in North America to expand the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And I feel that this is also a great, wonderful example that we should all look at. It's somebody who actually understands the importance of chanting purely, and the fruit of chanting purely is that Krishna will reciprocate. Sometimes I hear, even devotees, sometimes they'll come to me, in the former Soviet Union, they'll come and they'll speak to me and they'll say, I have no service. So they feel like in their hearts, you know, I don't know why, I just don't have anything to do, there's nothing. And actually, if we understand what is the essence of our Krishna consciousness, specifically in chanting the holy name of the Lord, and what does it mean to chant with feeling, attachment. And anybody who feels that they don't have any service, then they should look within themselves and try to understand, why do I not have any service? Have I really understood with the proper mentality how to serve the holy name of the Lord? Have I actually, each day before chanting the holy name of the Lord, do I offer prayers and meditate on what is the meaning? What am I doing chanting 16 rounds? Sometimes devotees, they have a meditation that chanting 16 rounds a day means, the happiness of chanting 16 rounds a day means to finish them. Happiness is finishing my 16 rounds. Oh, now they're done. But how much do we actually, before chanting, submit ourselves? Because we're servants of the holy name. And we should actually submit ourselves with feeling, praying to Krishna. Please, I have no qualification. My heart is filled with so many obstacles on the path of devotional service. What qualification do I have to be a servant? I actually, if I look within myself and see the desires and attachments in my heart, I know that I have no qualification whatsoever. But you, Krishna, you have the power to bestow upon me the opportunity to be engaged in your loving devotional service. And unless I feelingly pray to you for this service, then how can I ever hope or expect to all of a sudden think that service will come by my efforts alone? Service comes from Krishna, and it comes down to the disciplic succession. And if we actually want to be engaged in devotional service, we have to qualify ourselves to be given that most unique privilege. Privilege to have somebody approach us on behalf of the Supreme Lord, on behalf of the spiritual master, and with a genuine desire to come forward and to give us an opportunity. Here, this service is available for those who actually are eagerly looking for it. Those who practice day in and day out by dint of their meditation and by dint of their sincere chanting. And this is a wonderful example to look at. And his example is that he didn't say, all right, I'm going to come back and you know, I have so many skills and I want to do this, I want to do that, you have to accept. He said, no. I want to serve the holy name of the Lord. And by serving the holy name of the Lord, everything else will naturally come from that. So, I see that by that example, by that desire, that fervent desire within his heart, that Srila Prabhupada, understanding his desire, has given him so much service now to assist to all the senior leaders practically in North America, as Maharaj said, they're calling him. What can we do? How should we organize this? What can we do this like that? Asking so many questions, and the reciprocation is all coming from that chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So similarly, we should try to look within our own hearts as well and try to examine how much do we have that a strong desire to submit ourselves to chanting the holy name of the Lord, not in a mindless way of endeavoring to simply complete them and considering that to be the criteria of our of success of chanting Hare Krishna. The criteria of our successful chanting is actually how much we've, as Maharaj very nicely explained also in his presentation, is how much are we remembering Krishna? How much are we depending upon Krishna? Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are the most confidential instruction he's given. In Bhagavad Gita is Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Majaji Mamdamaskuru. Mame Vaishishi Satante Patijane Priyosime. Krishna told Arjuna that Man Mana Bhava, that you should always fix your mind upon me. Mad Bhakta Bhava means to engage all of your senses in serving me. Madhyaji means to worship me, engage in the worship of my deity form. Mamna Maskuru, you should offer your obeisances to me. If you do all of these things, fixing your mind completely upon me in devotional service and full dependence upon me, he says, you will come to me. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary to this verse and also to the verse that subsequent verse to Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto, a very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, which is Sarva Dhammam Puritya Jamami Kam Savaranam Braja Aham Tvam Sava Papi Vyo Moksha Shami Mahasuchaha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion, surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that what is this surrender that Krishna is asking? Sometimes we think surrender means, you know, just do what you're told, surrender. That's surrender. That's one element of surrender, yes, do what you're told. But for what? Why should you do what you're told? He says that all the components of banmana, of surrender, sarva dhamma puritya mamekam saranam braja, he says all the components of surrendering to Krishna are established in the preceding verse. You want to surrender to Krishna? What does surrender to Krishna means? Surrender means manmana bhava. You surrender your mind to me. You surrender your mind means you always you're thinking of me, thinking of my pastimes, thinking of my activities back to Godhead in the spiritual world. What is going on in the spiritual world? The residents of Goloka Vrindavan, they're absorbed. They're engaged in Manmana Bhava. Just like Mother Jasoda, her absorption, which is very nicely described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How Mother Jasoda, she accompanies her son, Krishna, when he enters into the forest to go out to play with his cowherd boyfriends. Her mind is so much absorbed in Krishna that she doesn't even want to leave Krishna for a moment. Krishna gathers with all his cowherd boyfriends. They're all playing their flutes and buffalo horns. And Mother Jasoda, she's walking out to the outskirts of the village with Krishna. And Krishna stops and turns to Mother Jasoda. Mother Jasoda, what is she thinking? She's just simply thinking of Krishna. She doesn't want to leave. She does all these different arrangements. First she gives him some pan to chew. Then she leaves and turns back to go. And then she stops, she turns around. Then she gives him something to eat. Then she turns around as if to return. She stops, she looks at Krishna. Then she comes back and adjusts her clothes, his clothes. Then she turns away back to return home. And then she comes back and instructs Krishna to be careful before entering into the forest. You should be very careful. Don't go too deep into the forest. If you do that, you possibly will become, you'll get cuts and scratches by running into the thorns in the forest. Then she turns back as if to return. And then she turns around, looks at Krishna, and she comes back and she says to Krishna, she's all to Krishna's friends, you should protect Krishna, stand on all sides of him. Your mind is absorbed, manmana bhava. That is the goal of chanting. Her love for Krishna is so intense that for a moment she cannot take her mind off of Krishna. That is how We should surrender our minds to Krishna. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should be surrendering our minds completely to the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. Praying, please let me always think of you. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur, Vishnur vismartavyo nijatu chit. All the rules and regulations that we're performing, including the chanting of our japa, including the temple worship, everything is meant to help us to fix our minds upon Krishna and to never forget Krishna. That is Manmana Bhava. And Mad Bhakta Bhavam is just like Maharaj Ambarish, who utilizes all his senses completely for the service of the Lord. His ears for hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his tongue for speaking the glories of the Lord, using his hands for cleansing the temple of the Lord, his feet walking to the temple of the Lord, his hands for touching the bodies of Vaishnavas and taking the dust of their lotus feet, placing them on his head. Full engagement of all of his senses in the service of the Lord. So, this is the preparation for going back to Godhead. Jayadvaita Mohan Maharaj spoke about going back to Godhead and how he was goal of going back to Godhead is Godhead, as he said that Srila Prabhupada said that Godhead was that Krishna is the head god. So in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is the head god. He's always the supreme personality of Godhead. But in Goloka Vrindavan, he assumes that role of becoming completely submissive and subordinate to the loving service of his devotees. The head god, all that Godhead or head god is completely covered by Yogamaya, so that everybody is actually looking at Krishna as son, friend, and lover, and absorbed 24 hours a day in thoughts and remembrance of him and serving him in the ways which are most pleasing to him. Going back to Godhead means to prepare ourselves to go back to Godhead by remembering the pastimes of the Lord, hearing about his activities, praying to him for the opportunities to always remember him, and praying to him for the opportunity to serve him by keeping ourselves always closely in the association of superior Vaishnavas, whose every desire and wish and every word is giving us another opportunity to help us remember that we're servants of Krishna by becoming servants of the Vaishnavas. We actually, when we imbibe this consciousness and we chant the holy name of the Lord in this spirit, we'll see that in the association of so many exalted Vaishnavas, that we'll never have an opportunity to say, I have no service. The real benediction that will come from chanting sincerely is that Krishna will keep us closely, very closely bound into the association of loving Vaishnavas, such as we are so fortunate to be in today, on this auspicious day. They'll keep us so bound that every time they speak, there's another opportunity. We hear always another opportunity. How can I serve Krishna? By serving his loving devotees. This is the perfection of our chanting of Hare Krishna. And therefore I can understand that I've been given this opportunity to speak about this today, very kindly by the mercy of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who has asked me to speak. And by simply by that request alone, just like two nights ago, he did the same thing to me. I walked in, I sat down and started playing the harmonium in his room. And I was thinking, I'm coming to hear Radhanath Maharaj speak on Sharad Purnim. My heart was... And he walked into the room and said, Maharaj, so go in and speak. I said, what? He says, I'm very busy. Please, go speak. How much time do I have to prepare? Now. He's always so kind to me. So kind to me. Anything he says is an order. Is an order. I take it on my head as an order from his lotus mouth. And therefore, I realize, and to some small degree, that if I can go on chanting in some humble spirit and keep myself surrounded by such wonderful Vaishnavas like this, that Krishna will always give me some opportunity to render some service. So, thank you very much,
Adinath Maharaj,
for your kind association and for your loving friendship and everything else that you've given me in this life. Hare Krishna.
I am speaking only because Radhanath Maharaj has demanded that I speak. I'm not actually qualified to speak to you. My godbrothers, my senior godbrothers, have offered very nice words, but I'm also unqualified to receive those words, so I've offered them to Srila Prabhupada, who is so kind and unbelievably generous. And I would say that particularly at this moment, I'm seeing that his greatest gift, although he gave us so many great gifts that you cannot just say that one thing is his greatest gift, but his greatest gift, I think, is the association of devotees, my senior godbrothers, but then all of you, and to be in your association just feels so special. And it is actually the special devotional work that you people have been doing that has brought me here. I started to work with some of our leaders in North America, and I started to associate with some of my senior godbrothers to try to chant Hare Krishna better. And for the last 2 years, everyone is saying that I have to go to Chaupati. I have to come here to see you people because of the special mood of devotion, the intense mood of devotion that is going on. And so, in one sense, Radhanath Maharaj invited me here, but in a more real sense, the deep devotion that all of you have is what has called me here, because I wanted to see you and be in your service in some small way, even just to gain your association. And so I wanted to thank Radhanath Maharaj for beginning this little journey and inviting me here. I also wanted to thank Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who has been so gracious and so wonderful in taking care of me and has made me feel instantly like I'm a family member. And I'm like feeling, just by being with him for a few hours, I'm feeling like I'm part of this place in some way. So it really has affected me deeply. So thank you very much, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. You're very special devotee. So I'm not going to say much, except because I don't have words to speak in front of my senior godbrothers, except to say one thing. Niranjan Swami and several other of my sannyasi godbrothers truly did help me chant better. And I think the secret there is that we spend time with those people that we know are tasting the holy name more than we are. So we find out those people. Who is tasting the holy name more than I am? And then we go to those people and we ask them for their blessings. And we ask them for their mercy and their help in chanting better. And I think this is a very important process of learning how to chant. And so that's what I've been attempting to do. So Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Last week, during the drama festival, we witnessed wonderful exhibitions of sincere devotion. Each of the four dramas that the devotees performed was so unique and so deeply filled with sincerity. Srila Prabhupada explained that the spirit of bhakti is based on our genuineness, our sincerity to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please the Vaishnavas, and to uplift the fallen souls. A devotee simply feels no charm when materialistic people perform extraordinary, dramatic pieces. There's no charm in the music of people who are addicted to money and prestige. Devotees appreciate selfless spirit of devotion. These devotees practiced for months together, joyfully. Many working, taking care of children all day, and then the only hours of they have to relax, they come for rigorous practices of dramas. All for one performance. Never again to even show it. One performance. Just to please the Vaishnavas. Knowing if we please the Vaishnavas, we can please Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam declares that if you want to give nourishment to the branches, leaves, twigs, and flowers of a tree, you must water the root. Krishna is the root of everything that exists. But you can't directly pour water on the root. You have to pour water on the fertile soil that is around the root. The devotees are Krishna's associates. The devotees are always surrounding Krishna's lotus feet by their hearts of affection. Therefore, by serving the devotees, automatically, naturally, Krishna, the root of all existence, accepts the water of our love. And then our whole life flourishes. I wish to thank all the hundreds of the devotees that participated in this wonderful drama festival. In the drama about the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada's words, which are so meaningful. And I humbly request that the devotees meditate on just those few seconds of Prabhupada's words in that tape. They reveal the essence of his heart, his compassion, and especially the spirit of his gratitude and appreciation for the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to devotees who were one-third his age, who did not even have a particle of a fraction of his knowledge of the scriptures. He was a Paramhamsa who was simply allowing the oceanic love and compassion of his heart to flow and drown people's lives with meaning, with hope, with faith, and with love. He was speaking to primarily neophyte devotees who were struggling to control their minds and senses, struggling to maintain some sadhana. Many of them slipping and falling, and Prabhupada having to come and personally just pick them up again and again to keep them on the path. To these devotees, who were his own disciples, exclusively dependent on his compassion in every step of their spiritual lives, Srila Prabhupada was revealing his heart. He was actually weeping, crying, thinking of the mercy of his Guru Maharaj upon him, thinking of the mercy of his Guru Maharaj on all of us. He was begging, he was pleading that we carry on this great mission. What most strikes my heart when I hear that tape is Prabhupada is crying in appreciation, in gratitude for his little baby disciples' efforts to assist him in the mission of his Guru Maharaj. He said he's old, and at any time he could be taken away, pleading with us, please carry on this great mission, thanking us again and again for whatever efforts we have made to help. That is the heart of one who actually loves Krishna. Today we have seen how Prabhupada has empowered the hearts of these exalted devotees with such deep appreciation, gratitude, and affection for each other. How Niranjan Maharaj was showing his heartfelt appreciation and gratitude for Jayadvaita Maharaj, for how he helped him 30 years ago. That is a Vaishnav. Never forgets. His heart is eternally conquered because Jayadvaita Maharaj so kindly came and slept on his floor and gave him some association which was so precious because it was so real. If we ever forget those devotees who have helped us at any time, we have forgotten Krishna. Because it's Krishna who's manifesting through every devotee to help lift us up. If we lose our gratitude for any devotee who has ever once sincerely chanted the holy name, that's a deficiency in our appreciation of Krishna. How His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj was appreciating Gopal Bhatta Prabhu. We have heard from him the very essence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. In what spirit we should approach the supreme deity of the holy name. Yayatamam prapadyante tams tathaiva vajamyaham. As we approach Krishna, he reveals himself accordingly to us. When we chant the Maha Mantra, we are approaching Srimati Radharani and her beloved consort, Sri Krishna. What is our attitude? Are we approaching with gratitude, with submissiveness, with a deep desire to serve and to please them? If we are not properly loving and respecting devotees, do you think Krishna appreciates our calling out his holy name? Not very much. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so bold to declare that if you're criticizing, if you're blaspheming my devotees, that when you chant the name will come to punish you. Hare Krishna. So much for the seventh offense to the holy name of committing sins. What to speak of the first offense? If we're blaspheming devotees, if we can't love and appreciate devotees, then Krishna's name will deal with us according to what we need. Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. Unless we capture the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, Trinaravi Sunichena Toror Iva Sehishmana Amani Namanadena Kirataniya Sadahari. Unless we make this our ideal, our aspiration in life, Krishna is not going to be pleased to fully reciprocate with us as we're chanting his name. Srila Prabhupada taught us that 99% of all of our spiritual advancement is in chanting Hare Krishna. But he gave us all of his books. He gave us the association of devotees. He gave us so much service to perform along with those devotees. Why? Because unless we apply that service spirit toward the Vaishnavas, we cannot properly approach the holy name. So when we approach the holy name, we should introspectively evaluate what is the quality of my service attitude in life. This determines how I can actually approach the Maha Mantra. Maharaj was so deeply appreciating, almost with tears, how Gopal Bhatta was so much wanting to hear from Vaishnavas and chant the holy name and beg for service to the Vaishnavas in his chanting. And thus Krishna has showered so much service on him, he hardly has time to do anything else. What a gift, what a blessing to have so much service. We should feel so unqualified to render any service to anyone. But yet causelessly the devotees are so merciful, they're actually coming to engage us in their service. That's Krishna's blessing to give us service. It's the fruit of the chanting of the holy name. To serve with love. All of these wonderful devotees who have come before us today, have expressed such genuine appreciation, affection, and gratitude. We must learn this from them. Because without that, bhakti is superficial. Srila Prabhupada taught us that. There is the famous story which you have heard of the drunkard who came in 22nd Avenue for no other purpose but to use the toilet. Because when you drink alcohol, that is one of the side effects. What goes in must come out. No toilet paper. Obviously, he didn't know what to do with this little pitcher of water. In America, it is a great mystery when they go into a Hare Krishna's toilet room. What is this water doing here? Am I supposed to drink water? Is that what they do when they're responding to the calls of nature? They're drinking water? What is some oriental culture? Etiquette? Hospitality? They're giving me water. So he thought, you know, these devotees, they don't even have toilet paper. So some days later, he came in with a roll of toilet paper, which is absolutely useless to the Vaishnavas. And he brought it into the toilet room. Some of the devotees were probably thinking to just throw him out. But Prabhupada treated him with respect as a gentleman who has come to serve. Prabhupada had affection. Prabhupada had gratitude because he came to help him. Even though his help was absolutely useless, he had an intention to do something positive for Prabhupada. That was in 1966. And 3 decades later, we're still talking about this man. All over the world, devotees talk about this man. Because Prabhupada showed love, respect, and gratitude to him. That is the heart of a Vaishnava. That is the heart of one who has actually taken shelter of Krishna's holy name. Srila Prabhupada explains that in bhakti the ends and the means are the same. It is the trying to develop these qualities in connection to the holy name. And what is the fruit? That we actually realize what we're practicing. Sometimes Prabhupada's told new devotees who were really struggling that you are all liberated souls. Yes? Prabhupada, you know, you don't understand. We're not liberated. He said, no, you are. You're all pure devotees. You're following the regulative principles. You're chanting at least 16 rounds every day. You're spending the majority of all your time trying to serve, trying to remember Krishna. These are the activities of a pure devotee. You just haven't realized that you're pure devotees. The difference between a neophyte devotee and a pure devotee is they do practically the same thing, but one is realized and one isn't. That's Prabhupada's gift. He's actually given everyone the opportunity to enter directly into the culture of the spiritual world. And as we just associate with people in that spirit and practice, we become more and more purified and realize. Now we are chanting the holy names perhaps with as an austerity. What will we get out of it? We will continue chanting in love, with realization. And then, like Srila Prabhupada, we will actually shed genuine tears of love and gratitude to the assembly of devotees for all that they're doing for us. If that is the way the great Paramhamsas think, how grateful we should be. We are utterly dependent on the tolerance, the mercy, and the kindness of the Vaishnavas. So let us learn how to appreciate each other as the senior Vaishnavas are appreciating each other. Then, entrance into the realm of pure love is accessible. For as His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj has so eloquently explained, we could tread the real path back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains that Maya is nescience, darkness. Godhead is light. A Vaishnava is one who, in association with the light of the holy name and the devotees, gives light to the world through our words, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our prayers. I thank you very much. At this time, let us express our deep gratitude to Gopal Bhatt Prabhu, Jayadwaita Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, by performing very, very enthusiastic, sincere Sankirtan. Is that possible? Let us chant very loud from our hearts. We are not musicians or theatrical performers or dancers. We're just simple, humble devotees who want to please Krishna and glorify Krishna and make everyone happy in doing so. That's all. Thank you very, very much.